Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Malupa, kunjani?
From broadcast to baptism.
Oh yes,
amen. I love it.
Oh
love
yes. It. Oh yes, indeed. Oh yes, indeed. Kunjani?
I'm all right, my elder. How are you doing?
No, I can't complain, man, Pastor. Can't complain. Sure. God is good all the time. Now, continuing talking about faith versus works. And I must tell you that if you're joining us for the first time, you have missed out a great deal. But hey, not all is lost, because all our conversations are on our podcast. But glad for you if you have been able to catch Pastor Malupa on this one, because, man, he has been spitting facts throughout. And I do hope that today is no different. Now, Pastor, today we're going to be breaking down how faith is connected to the work of justification and sanctification. Mm-hmm. Now, how does faith inform a Christian's work?
Wow. Thank you so much, Ran, for that question. Let me greet the saints who are listening to us this afternoon, and may the Lord continue to bless you wherever you are. You'll remember, my elder, we are anchored on the text, Matthew chapter 14, verse 31, which reads, "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, wherefore or why do you doubt?" And your question is, faith versus works, what does that have to do with sanctification, salvation? Wow. maybe let me take a detour.
Okay.
And you'll understand why when I come back.
Mm-hmm.
And make a very logical assumption.
Mm.
The text doesn't say this, but my deduction from reading the text is that while they were in the boat, they had with them the 12 baskets.
Mm.
I'm making that deduction, my elder, because it's logical that after they had fed the 5,000 and more, and they had picked up whatever that was left there, the reason for them picking up all that was left there was primarily to clean up the place. So they wouldn't necessarily clean up the place and then leave the dirt right there. They would probably go and find a dumping site where they're going to throw away the dirt that they had picked up, because that also happens to be in a desert area. So my simple, humble, logical, deductive reasoning says to me that in the boat, while they were crossing, they were carrying 12 baskets of the leftovers of a miracle that they had just experienced. Now, if they're carrying the leftovers of the miracle that they had just experienced, then I have a few problems especially with what we're discussing today. How does faith and works inform salvation? Because in those baskets is bread. On the other side, where there is Christ walking, it is bread walking towards them. But just bear with me just for another minute.
Okay.
You see, Christ is born in a place called Bethlehem.
Okay.
And Bethlehem is a Hebrew compound word that means house of bread.
Mm.
And so the Bethlehem is known to be the house of bread, because that is where you found the best bakers of bread, in Bethlehem. I'm tempted to be a bit of an Adventist preacher and say that when Naomi's life was in tatters, was in shambles, and her husband and her sons had died. She heard that God had remembered Bethlehem, at the house of bread, where in her poverty, now she was told that there is bread back at home in Bethlehem. Let me also turn by David and say that David himself was from Bethlehem. When he was tending to the sheep, he was in Bethlehem. When he was growing up, he was in Bethlehem. David is growing up in the house of bread, where bread is the best bread in the whole world, and which is why they are naming that place Bethlehem. Now, bread was also found in the desert. Remember this bread that they are carrying in the boat, they are picking it up in a desert. The bread was also found in the desert somewhere in the book of Exodus, where every morning they had to wake up. Or maybe let me pass by Lamentations and say they are new every morning. Every morning, God's mercies are new. Every morning, God's grace is new. Every morning, you can't use a stale one, yesterday's one. You've got to use a fresh one, one that comes in the morning. When you wake up and you say, Lord, in the morning, thou shalt hear my voice ascending high. To thee will I direct my prayer. To thee will I lift up my voice. The message I knew every morning there in the desert where the Israelites were walking in circles, the message were new every morning because the spirit of prophecy says their clothes were not getting worn out. Their shoes were not getting finished. Whatever that they had was being sustained on a daily basis, but the bread was also being given to them every morning. So when they are thinking about bread, they think about something that will come in the morning. They are not thinking about something that they have to go to the shop for, or somebody who has to bake and make it, or the whole process of making flour and yeast and all those things. They don't think about that whole process. They think of picking it up in the morning, ready-made, fresh from heaven. And so they wake up and they go towards it. Maybe let me quickly turn back before I go too far back to the cross. Oh, no, but Mdala, give me 2 seconds, man, to go to
okay,
the cross.
That's all right. That's all right.
You know, the menu of Passover.
Yes.
It begins as a lamb. But when we meet it in the New Testament, it is now bread.
Mm.
It begins as a lamb that spills blood. And when we meet it there in the New Testament, it has become bread. Because type has met the anti-type,
okay,
they can no longer be eating and slaughtering the lamb. So bread is now substituted so that the lamb can go to the cross and spill blood that will cleanse our sins. And spill. That is why I'm saying, Dala, when you look at bread there in that boat, think of the blood of the lamb who is on the cross there on Golgotha, because that is where we meet our salvation.
Yeah. Wow.
When Peter steps out of the boat, the first thing, my elder, I'm going to take another turn, another very rough turn. The first thing that you think about is Genesis chapter 3, where God calls out to Adam. He says, Adam, Adam, where are you?
Mm.
When he calls Adam and he asks that question, again, it is not a question for God to receive information. It is a question that God tries to inform Adam about.
Okay.
When Adam is listening to that question, my understanding is this, that Adam knows that God knows where he is.
Mm.
So God is not asking because he does not know the location of Adam. God is asking because he's saying to Adam, we had an appointment. Where I am right now, there is an appointment that you and I have. Mm. The appointment is such that you were supposed to have gone past the issue of conquering the devil and not falling into sin, so that when I come and visit you today, we may have a celebration of you not conquering sin. So you are not here because you have fallen into sin. And so God asks this question, where are you? Why, when you fall into sin, you don't come back and honor the appointment so that I can be able to rescue you from the situation where you are in?
Yeah, man. Now tell me, Pastor, tell me. Tell me, I see our time is moving so fast and I'm enjoying this, man. You know, I feel like I'm gonna rest the time and but hey, let's move ahead. Now, can justification and sanctification work well without faith?
Not at all. You see, the when you look at how God is going to judge us, the Bible says that God uses he will judge us according to the Bible says God winks his eye on our days of ignorance. Right? Now, what that means is, when God looks at us, he judges us according to the level of our understanding, according to the level of our faith, and according to the level of the actions that are informed by our faith. So it is not possible for him to Ellen White makes a very, very contentious statement, which I for one believe in. She says that slaves will not be allowed to enter heaven. That statement is contended by theologians in many ways that I'm not going to discuss today. But I want to tell you why I believe that statement. It is because the mind of the slave has been captured, and the mind of the slave is not in a position where it can make its own decisions. And so the mind of the slave cannot exercise a free will kind of faith that chooses to be on the side of God regardless of anything that happens. That mind will only choose to be on the side of whom the slave master wants the mind to be on the side of. So it is not possible for us to exercise, to have sanctification and justification and salvation outside of the confines of a faith that is governed by a free will understanding. So when you arrive at the point where we're going to be at the interview with Christ, and he says, man, I was hungry, did you feed me? You can't say the master said we cannot feed. The slave master has got no standing there. And so it comes to the level whereby the conversation is going to be asking about your freedom and about your activities that were informed by your faith. So the question primarily is asking you, when I gave you the talents that I gave you, how did you use them? Because that character is what is going to inform your life in the world that we're going to. So the city Jerusalem is not a city whereby you can have a slave in there. The city Jerusalem is not a city whereby when someone is in need, you will be greedy and not give that person. Mm. The city Jerusalem is a place whereby when someone is when you see somebody needing something, your selflessness will be required for you to sustain your stay in the city of Jerusalem.
Yeah. Now, Pastor, you know, as you're talking about this faith, is it a linear experience? Can it be measured? You know, small, big faith, etc.
You know, Peter's faith is only measured when he steps onto the water.
Okay.
Before
all right.
that,
all right.
All the 12 of them were the same. You know, maybe let me
so it can be measured.
So it can be measured. It definitely can be measured. Let me take a detour somewhere else.
Okay.
Proverbs
right.
says a just man falls 7 times. Now something very interesting there.
Mm-hmm.
How do we measure that this man is just?
Yeah.
Because when the man falls, he falls like the wicked man.
Mm.
It's not like the just man's falling is different from the wicked man's falling. No, they fall the same. They're exactly the same. They look alike. The only thing that makes the just man to be just is when he gets up.
Oh, okay.
At the point of falling, they are the same with the wicked. But when he gets up, he is just. So we measure the faith by your getting up. And we don't measure your faith by your getting up once. We measure your faith by your getting up every time you fall.
Ah, beautiful. Beautiful.
So every time you fall, we don't see the quality of your faith. But every time you get up from your fall, that is when we're able to have a measurement and say, this man's faith. Ah!
Wow. 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 Yeah. Now, if that is the case, and you've by the way, defined faith in a beautiful, beautiful way, and in so many times you've given us many examples, but then,
yes, sir.
But then, here's a question.
Okay.
Does this faith insulate a Christian from disappointment?
Ooh. I said at the feet of Professor Joel Musosui, one of the best scholars in the Adventist circles, and I think in the world that we have in Africa, he's in Zimbabwe.
Mm.
He talks about we were in the dam. Mananda Dam that is right next to Solusi University, the dam that was feeding Solusi with water. And we stood inside the dam because the dam, the level, the water levels had gone so low, you could actually stand right in the middle of the dam.
Okay.
And it was terrible. And he says, when God deals with, when we approach God and we have a petition to God and we're asking him to do something for us, we're not asking him because things are good. We're asking him because things are not good. That is why we're asking him to fix that thing that is broken. Now, when we go to him to ask him, it is not from a position of comfort where he has already answered. It is from a position of disappointment where we know that where we stand now, we are disappointed, we are discouraged, we are cast down, yet we are not destroyed.
Oh yes.
Able
oh yes
to go and ask him.
Yes,
so,
yes,
so,
yes.
So Professor Msosu says, when you are standing in the middle of a dam that is empty, Your disappointment is visible. Your discouragement is visible. But don't have an attitude that does not allow you to approach God.
Beautiful.
So we cannot be insulated in a place where we are not discouraged. We must be exposed to our discouragement so that we can be able to give a comparison that when I was there feeling cold, the Lord came and gave me warmth.
Oh, beautiful. It actually ties up, and if you could just wrap this on up, because you are saying that when you are facing that disappointment,
Yes, sir.
It should not, finish you off, and you are now lying on the floor. You're not saying that. So when a Christian faces disappointment, how should it exactly affect the faith itself?
At the general's funeral, at my father's funeral, Lift Up Christ, Pastor Shongwe, while preaching, Pastor Shongwe loves singing during his sermons.
Oh yes, he does.
And he sang this song that it's the trials that bring us close to Jesus. If it was not for trials, we may have not had the opportunity to come closer to Jesus.
Oh, yes.
Because when things are good, we forget, we humans, that's why the Ten Commandments, somewhere in the fourth one, it says, remember. It's because as humans, we forget. Emmanuel Ministry group sings the song that remind me, because as humans we have a tendency of forgetting. So the trials are there to remind us that we have a God whom we should stick close to, and that God, He has promised that I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never walk away from you. I will be with you all the time. In your time of despair, in your time of trouble, in your time of disappointment, call upon me and I will deliver you.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Well, Pastor, I think that we're going to have to pack it from here today. Again, as I said to you out there as a listener, you heard this man is dropping bombshells, man. He's dropping gems. Yeah. Pastor, let's do this again tomorrow. Same time, same place.
Thank you so much, my elder. You remain the best among the best.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Fantastic.
God bless. Thank you so much. Cheers.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.